Dermot and Dave on Today FM, 087-4100-102. You want to drop us a text or a WhatsApp this morning?
Very, very funny man coming to Dublin, Jack Whitehall. His show is Stood Up. It's in the Three Arena in Dublin. And you'll know him from so many shows in the UK. Would I Lie to You, Bad Education, Top Gear, Drunk History. He recently filled in as guest presenter on the Graham Norton Show. And of course, he's been on 8 out of 10 Cats many times. But thankfully today, he's dropped into the studio. Morning, Jack.
Morning, hey.
Sorry, I'll do that again because it sounded like I farted, yeah. As I said.
No, I think that's quite a nice way to start an interview with like a nice welcoming Trump.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way to do it, I would suggest.
Hold on.
There we go.
Morning.
Lovely to see you in person because we've spoken on the phone before, but now we're here side by side.
Very nice to see you in the flesh. You're exactly as I thought you would be in my head.
Demanding for this to sit face to face with Dermot and Dave, obviously.
Yeah. I'm like, what does Dermot and Dave look like? I have the vision in my head every time I hear your voices, and this, you haven't disappointed.
Yeah. We heard you were actually
even better looking in real life.
Wow. Thank you. Here, Jack, we heard that a few moments ago up on reception, you were heard loudly to ask for English breakfast tea.
No, I didn't. I said breakfast tea, and I was so impressed that I'd remembered not to do what I always do, which is, hello, can I have a cup of the Queen's finest English breakfast tea? I stopped it out the gate and I went, breakfast tea.
You know, in an environment where there's a lot of talk of hard borders and Boris Johnson coming in here, throwing his weight around, to be shouting English breakfast tea at the top of your voice?
I'll tell you what, I over-calibrate because I've done that before on trips to Dublin. Right. I've accidentally ordered, can I have just an English breakfast? And then going, and so now everything, I'll just put Irish in front of everything.
Irish English
like
breakfast.
An Irish tea with some Irish milk, please. And maybe a little Irish sugar on the side. Thank you so much. Do you have any Irish biscuits? Just Irish in front of everything.
Yeah, I don't think we've quite worked out the difference between a full Irish and a full English breakfast.
Isn't it the pudding?
Is it the beans?
White pudding? Yeah, see, we do white pudding and black pudding.
Yeah.
And I don't think the English do white and black, do you?
No, we have black pudding, but no white pudding.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And how do you feel on beans, actually?
Well, he clearly likes them.
Yeah.
The start of his interview is anything to go
Trumpy
by.
LaRue over
Trumpy
there does.
LaRue.
But what about you?
I like a bean. That's my like 30. That sounded so weird.
Just the one.
I like a bean. See, this is the gold you get from me when you have me in person.
Yeah,
you wouldn't get this over
the
phone.
On the phone, this isn't happening.
On the phone, you're not going to get that kind of a revelation. I like a bean.
And then what about
an Irish bean? An Irish bean.
Irish bean, please.
An Irish bean.
Hash browns. How do you feel about hash browns?
Beans are like my like as well. If I've done a gig and I come back and there's no food in the fridge, I have been known to like eat just directly from
straight from the tin
of baked beans.
Yeah,
and just eat that and go to bed, which is quite sad. It's quite a sad moment. There's a lot of stuff in just segueing neatly to my tour.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of material in my tour, which I think might be coming up in Dublin at some point.
Who knew?
Oh my God.
The Three Arena. I have a lot
of stuff about living alone now because I broke up with my ex-girlfriend and now I live like the bachelor lifestyle and how depressing the bachelor lifestyle is.
Well, actually,
compared to what you thought it might be.
There's an Irish brand of beans called Bachelors.
What?
Yeah. So I think you should, on your way home,
Go
via a supermarket, load up your suitcase, it'll be very heavy, but I'm sure you've got all the money in the world to pay for the excess baggage, but bring home bachelor's beans, and then when you live your bachelor lifestyle, you can sit at home in your underpants eating your bachelor's beans.
By the way, I tell you this now, I need to remember this, I will be taking a note of that in my phone, and when I do the shows in Ireland, I've already know now where the reference to bachelor's beans is, because I have a bit where it's perfect. That
Excellent.
Is literally going to be a punchline in my show.
There you go.
All you have to do is credit us.
I'm so excited. You're having to write that down in notes, otherwise I will forget it.
The little bachelors who are on the tin wear bowler hats. So,
oh my God,
it's
even
a kind of a nod
brand
to the,
for me.
Yeah, there you go. Is it true that a couple
Bachelor
had sex
beans.
In one of your live shows?
Yes, so this happened.
In the audience?
Yeah, I did a show with my dad, which makes it even weirder because it was me and my dad on stage and we heard this kind of ruckus up in the like stalls and I thought it was a fight. I was like, well, they must be getting kicked out because they were having an argument. And then I came off stage afterwards and the security were like, no, they were having sex in the audience. And we threw them out and said they had to leave. And then we found them again in the loos and they were trying to go at it again. And I was like, how is that a thing? And they went, no, it is literally a thing.
What?
This couple are known in the West End and they go to lots of shows and they get off on having sex in the audience of shows.
Oh.
And so they're like known people on the theatre circuit and they're like exhibitionists that like to just go and have sex.
In a way, it's disappointing that that's their thing as opposed to you and your dad doing a show, turn them on so much that they just couldn't resist. Mm. That would have been a better story.
Well, it's the weirdest heckle ever.
It is.
Like, what do you do with it?
But I love that you've taken life up a notch, because we all know the kind of cringy embarrassment when you're sitting at home watching television with one of your parents and a sex scene comes on.
Yes.
It's awkward enough.
Yes.
But when live porn is actually happening in front of you and your dad, that's going pro, isn't
that
it?
It really is going pro. I always remember, talking of that, I did this show Fresh Meat years ago where I was playing a student, and there was a lot of sex scenes in it, and I took my mom and dad to the premiere that we had in London for the first episode, and I completely forgot that there was a very graphic sex scene of mine in that first episode. And I was watching it with my mom and dad, and then it suddenly dawned on me, it was like, oh no, that's in this episode, and I'm about to have to watch that with my mom and dad next to me. And the sex scene started playing, and I turned and I looked at my mom, and she had her head in her hands. And then I turned over and looked at my dad, and he was literally nodding like, that's my boy.
Oh, God. Oh, that's the worst reaction for him.
It's the worst reaction.
And in fairness, they're probably going, well, look, we heard you do it for so many years. We might as well see you do it now.
didn't your dad admit, whether it's true or not, to funding your insanely good looks by, when you were a child, paying for whatever needed to be done with braces and
teeth. He likes to talk about that.
Does he talk about
that
a lot?
Yeah, everything with him is like what he like. It's my school fees. It's how much the braces cost, and the glasses. Like he likes to run a bill of everything that he's ever spent on me.
And is he asking for return? Does he need a return on his investment? Like,
yeah, I don't know what the purpose of it is. I think he just wants me to feel like I'm constantly indebted to him.
But and he's also making you out to be like Bart Simpson in that episode where he gets the greasy hair, the comfy shoes, the glasses, and the braces.
Big braces. Yeah.
But I think in retaliation, I would just place the emotional receipt in front of him for being sent away to boarding school and not having a father for the ages of 10 to 18. Cost of the therapy that I will need in later life.
How was the Travels with My Father's show to make?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really fun and very, very stressful show to make, because obviously a lot of the things that we do are great, and it's really fun to travel and meet new people and do these crazy things. But then you've also got the dynamic of a family holiday that is real, and there's no getting away from that. And it's a dynamic that you see on screen, but it's also a dynamic that happens the minute the cameras stop rolling. And the whole process is like being on a very, very intense family holiday that is also work.
And do you ever feel like you need to kind of look after your dad, or, you know, in that role?
I actually have the big story that I tell at the end of my show is a story that I kind of went back and forth about whether I wanted to tell it and more importantly, whether he was going to allow me to tell it, because we had a very traumatic touch and go situation that happened in Chernobyl when we visited Chernobyl, and he ended up in hospital in Chernobyl, and it was like at the time so traumatic, and I was like, I've pushed him too far,
right.
My dad's like nearly collapsed, and now with hindsight I found a route through it where it's like people love hearing this story, because it's so out there, and what ended up happening is just horrific and hilarious,
right.
But weirdly kind of sharing on stage is quite cathartic.
Okay.
But that was the moment where I was like, oh no, this has gone too far. My dad is lying in hospital in Chernobyl, hooked up to a load of machines. And
yes, but is it cathartic for you while he's going, why are you telling all this terrible
personal
thing? Yeah. I think it's cathartic for me. And no, because I think with my dad, he's one of those people, emotionally repressed person where finding a humorous way through anything is the way to deal with it. So I think even though it was a traumatic thing, he far prefers it to be a funny story than a traumatic story.
Right.
And so finding the light of it and making it into a joke for him is a much easier way to reminisce and to deal with it. Like, it's a funny thing that happened there, not like the reality, which was actually very scary
terrifying.
At the time. And I was stop filming.
Is he naturally funny himself?
Yeah, very funny. In real life, he's a very witty person, and he is very funny. And that's the weird thing about doing that show is you find yourself falling into kind of the straight man role, and you're just there to feed him.
You're like, wait a minute, this is my show.
Yeah. And I have so many people now that just come up and compliment my dad. and say nothing to me.
Do they hand you the camera and say, can I get a picture?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Liam Gallagher came up to me on a red carpet. He's like, your old man's all right, you know. And then walked off. And I was, and I think for Liam Gallagher, that's like,
that's a big
glowing praise.
Yeah, that's like, five stars, yeah. What was boarding school like? You mentioned you were sent off there. What's that experience like?
Do you know what? To be honest, I was actually fine, and people have different experiences of it. Mine was okay. I had a really good set of mates there, and I had a nice time. But that said, that doesn't mean that I don't want to use it at every juncture to throw back in my dad's face and use as a point of contention.
We won't tell him if you thought it was okay.
Hopefully he doesn't listen to Today FM because I want him to think it was really traumatic.
Was any part of it like Harry Potter? Were there any?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was quite Harry Potter. Also, I was at school with Emma Watson, so having Hermione at your school,
it doesn't
makes
get
it
any more
Harry Potter.
And of course, you were the captain of the Quidditch team as well.
I was captain of the Quidditch.
Yeah,
that is ridiculous. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I auditioned for Harry Potter. Yeah, yeah. Because I looked very like Harry Potter until he spent all the money to make me not like Harry Potter.
So you had glasses,
the scar.
How did the audition go?
I have a little scar here. I do have a little scar on my head. I wore glasses and I had the hair. The audition wasn't great because I hadn't read the books.
Ooh, right.
Which I must have been the only kid that hadn't been bothered to read the books before the audition. So I kind of tanked it. But
They were like, what did you think of the book? What book?
What book?
Next! And how did you get your forehead scar? Because I have a similar Harry Potter scar there myself.
Yeah.
Let's compare scar stories. How did you get yours?
A Voldemort.
Obviously.
I murdered my parents. I haven't read the book, so I don't know. He must not be named. What about yours?
I fell down the stairs of a karaoke bar and stuck a champagne glass into my head. Which is in the next Harry Potter film.
Oh, my God.
Potter and the Karaoke Bar steps. It's being made.
Such a good...
Slated for 2020.
I have a good one on my knee, which I got because I was around my friend Piers Zelensky's house and I was attacked by Bobby Moore's widow's dog.
Okay, that's incredible already.
The dog came at me and it was like... And I'm making it sound like it was this terrifying hound. It was literally a little white terrier. And I was quite scared of it. And I jumped up onto a wall, lost my footing, and then smashed over my knee. So
it's funny. When you tell that story, I'm imagining it in black and white with 1960s football commentary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's young Jack at the gate. And he's doing well. And, oh, God, here comes a dog. Bobby Moore's divorcees. Please, let's make it a thing.
Now, that's how I will remember that memory.
Yeah.
You've intrinsically altered that memory for me in a very good way.
You stood in for Graham Norton and hosted his chat show, obviously an Irishman, a famous Irishman working in the UK. How was that experience where you're completely flipping yourself on the other side of the role, like the other side of the chair?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. That show is so well put together and so well run, and the producers and the team are amazing, and it's like researched within an inch of its life and then also looks really loose and improvised, which is the key to a great show. And so you're stepping into a very well-oiled machine and into an environment where you feel very comfortable. So when I actually went out there and did it, I was able to just enjoy it, and it felt like having a conversation with some people in the pub, which is why that show works so well.
Okay.
And if Graham decided, I've had enough of that, would you step in there?
I don't know. I don't know whether it's for me. I really enjoyed doing it once, but I think probably the problem might be that I like the sound of my own voice too much at this point.
You're like, I'm going to ask me all the questions now.
Exactly. But maybe you get to a certain age where you're like, I'm done with...
Possibly.
Talking all the time and like trying to show off, and maybe I'm just I'd be happier to be in that kind of role.
Well, we're very glad that you are going to show off in the Three Arena on the 17th and 18th of December 2019, which is obviously a run up to Christmas, so get yourself tickets. Jack Whitehall Stood Up is the name of the show, 17th and 18th December 2019. Tickets on sale right now.
Will your dad be making an appearance at any stage?
I think the advantage is he will definitely probably not be coming to Dublin, so that means that Chernobyl story, I will be able to do the full version. When he comes to the show in London, there may have to be a little bit of editing. But in Dublin, I can really go to town.
Yeah, until some lone person in the audience catches your eye and it's just your dad doing a slow clap. Oh, very good. What a great ending.
Jack Whitehall, thanks for chatting to us,
thanks
man.
Thanks so much.
All the best. Dermot and Dave.